Hey, sweetie.
I'll pull it to you.
Oh, no.
You know, that's what it is. It's basketball. It's not a soft sport.
I'm going to be a man, and if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This man just gave me a job. I'm not signing that shit.
There's a lot I got to say, but I ain't going to do it here because it's free today. I ain't going to curse.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Round one is over. Before we go any further, my name is Joseph Corr of Stats Perform Media, and I'm joined by...
Andrew Kenyon. We were just talking. I am the man fan on the street. Here to watch basketball, here to talk about it. I love it, but I don't work in it.
So, and I kind of do, I suppose. So hopefully you get a little bit of both perspective, because odds are, Andrew, people have Googled NBL and come to this podcast for the first time. There's every chance of that.
Yeah, or, you know, hopefully they Googled us. That would be a nice, you know, pat on the back. Ego such, boost, wouldn't it?
Such fans of us that then they're like, oh, I don't really watch basketball at all, but I'll listen to the podcast because it's those two. That would be unlikely, but possible. Hey. Today's podcast, we're going to go through every game of round one, have a little look towards round two, and also a few talking points. Or what was the phrase you said it about round one? Talking points? No.
I had takeaways.
Takeaways from round one. We're going to do a couple of takeaways. Yep. Let's jump straight into it. Or you had something, Andrew?
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe it shouldn't be takeaways. Maybe it should be like delivery style, like Uber Eats, because who gets takeaway anymore, right? You just get it brought to you. So this can be the NBL Pocket Podcast delivery service.
Yeah.
Got to work on, we have to workshop that.
Yeah, we'll workshop that. But while we do that, first game of the NBL 21 season was Adelaide Melbourne. Melbourne winning this one 89-65. First of all, we commentated, quote unquote, commentated this one on Twitch. That was fun.
And it was, that was a blast.
We had people from Greece. We had people from Kilbarry, which is exciting.
Kilbarry, mate. Come on.
Sorry. Apologies. So that was a bit of a success. How'd you see it, Andrew?
Well, first of all, I want to say the Twitch was awesome. It was really fun to do. So we, heaps fun. I think you sold us short. I thought we were pretty good at it. I think we had some good insights. So maybe something we'll do
again. We had fun.
Like better than just watching the game, because the game didn't ever reach any great heights. Even the winning team, Melbourne, 89 points, like, there were some highlights, but or some interesting, you know, sort of promises for the future, but still never really went far, did it?
I had a couple of takeaways from this one, a couple of stat takeaways I want to go through quickly.
Okay.
DJ, Daniel Johnson, great game. He had a great first round. He was the only Adelaide 36er in double digits. Sloan and Crocker, we're probably going to talk about this more at length. They combined for 8 points, 3 of 16 from the field with 8 turnovers. Wow.
Could you not just get some guy from the state league, roll him out, and I'm sure that he could do just as good a job? That was pretty ordinary.
That was, just the turnovers as well. Like Crocker had 5 of them, I think.
Yeah. One of the things I had in my notes, to be fair, is I thought Shaley was really good in this game.
McCarron too. I really did.
And I think maybe that those guys sort of put the clamps on the imports. I think maybe these two guys suffered a case of the, geez, this league is better than I realized syndrome. And I was thinking, what? They've been training for a while, but I don't think they've been with the team that long. And also they've been training against other Adelaide players who we've all tipped to be bottom of the ladder. So maybe their, you know, concept of the league is a little off.
The other thing, Isaac Humphries didn't play a lot of minutes. I think he played 12. He looked hurt. He didn't start. So I just want to talk as well. The starters for Adelaide did kind of throw me off a bit. Crocker, Detch, Johnson, Pinder, and Sloan. Keanu Pinder in there. You know, we didn't see Humphries and Johnson, which was quite effective in the next game that we'll talk about for them. But
yeah,
and then no Jack McVay. I thought Crocker was definitely going to come off the bench.
Didn't
happen. And Giddy too, or Giddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, through the whole game, through this whole round, really, I don't think Adelaide really had a good sense of who they were as a team. And who their best five were. I think we might have said, I saw a tweet from Body Norwich actually asking a similar question.
Yeah.
Does Connor know?
Does Connor know who this winning combination is for this team? I couldn't agree more. Other side of the coin, United, what do you think of them?
Yeah, their bigs were really good. Scotty Hobson, I don't think he's turned up yet, so we'll wait for his arrival next game. Yeah. Mm. But wasn't needed either. I mean, it was a trouncing. So,
Not the first half, though. And to explain that first half, I really thought Melbourne United were expecting more structure and Adelaide were just this lolly scramble, just roll the balls out. And, you know, when that sometimes happens, like, why are we can't get any cohesion because they're so unpredictable.
Jungle ball. Yeah.
You can't predict them that they were thrown off. They were totally thrown off by that. And then the second half, they just went, okay, that's quite enough of that. But Hobson only had the 4 points. Did you have any? Yeah, I want to say something. I had a bit of a worry with United. First of all, Hobson's invisibility. I just didn't see where they, fed off him at all or made an effort to feed it to him. And we saw with like Long and Trimble where it was like, do you know who this import is? Do you know what his strengths are? Are you going to play with them in the event that you learn them? So there was that element there, albeit one game. The other thing, no United player over 27 minutes. We were kind of critical on the stream about just how often these guys were coming in and out, and Landale and Golding didn't start the second half. Maybe that's a game one thing. I don't know, but you remember that, don't you?
Yeah. It was all a bit. It's like they were finding their rotations as well. But we criticised Adelaide for that, so it's fair play to criticise Melbourne for the same thing. I think the thing that got me, you talked about the bigs as well, is Jack White started off, looked good, but then seemed to quickly fall in love with the three-point shot.
Looked energetic.
Yes. Yeah, that's a better way of putting it. But I think he's got to holster that three-point shot and just do the dirty work inside. I think that's where his value is. Anytime a Chul's on the court, don't pass him the ball because it's not going to come back again.
He took about zero to hero. He had a really bad first half with just turnovers, looked real clumsy. And then in the second half was just casting him up and got a few down. But predictably, his stat line ended with the donut in the assist category. I mean, I don't think there was a situation in which he actually caught the ball and then didn't put it on the rim.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't an occasion where he made a pass. I really don't, unless it was an inbound.
Don't recall one. No. So he's, definitely a bit of a black hole, but, he got the points on the board at the end of the day at a decent clip. So
you'd hope so against that Adelaide team. Do you think people were too harsh after the game?
Were people too harsh?
Critical of Adelaide and Connor Henry?
No, because I was critical of Connor Henry too.
Oh yeah, we'll get to that. I've jotted down some of your tweets, young man. A lot to answer
got
for.
A bit fired up.
They just looked so poor. I mean, what a bad game to start the NBL with. Really embarrassing.
Yeah, it was.
And they just had no structure at all.
Pretty ordinary.
Any final words on this one?
Don't over dribble the ball, Joe.
Do not do that at all, Andrew.
That thing's gone viral.
Gone viral. And a great tweet. I mean, the two fucks, pardon the language, and then to point at a player who hasn't been in the game, who I presume is probably Alex Madronia.
Yeah.
And then say, you've over dribbled and you haven't even been in the game. That's it's a master of panic right there.
It reminded me of when Scott Fisher used to coach for the Wildcats. Oh, yeah.
Fisher would get wild.
He was great with the sprays. Haven't seen one. That's probably the best since Scott Fisher.
I'm sure Joey Wright probably had a couple. Gleeson would do a couple on occasion, I'm sure, but I don't think he ever game day sprays like that.
Nah, not full on.
Not on camera anyway. Yeah. Let's jump on. Brisbane, Illawarra, 84-90. Illawarra taking this one. Surprised? Did you tip?
I think I tipped the Hawks on this one. I forget. I tip and then I move on and I forget who I tipped. I think I tipped the Hawks here. And look, Brisbane at least, they're not boring anymore, right?
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah, it was like they're actually fun, a bit more fun to watch, a bit more dynamism on the court. But then they're still having to rely on Jason Kadee. And as any time you have to rely on him for quality minutes and points production, gosh, you're playing with the house's money, I think. Well, that's right. Wrong way of putting it, aren't you? You're playing with your money and you're going to lose it.
Well, I think that you put it up with Kadee there. Like Kadee had all his points came from the three-point line, 11 three-point attempts, nothing inside the arc.
Yep.
And like dribble penetration, it's just so important from that spot, especially in this NBL. You look at most of the good teams and, you know, it's small guards who can get to the basket and create for themselves and others. He's just not that guy. And we spoke about this in the preseason where if Sobey's truly, like everyone just says, oh, put Sobey at the two, put Sobey at the two. But, you know, who fills the void of the one? And right now it has to be Jason Kadee. And I don't think you're particularly better doing that. I think Kadee is much better suited to coming off the bench. So, you know, that's where Orlando Johnson comes into this. Like, should they have perhaps inserted Drimmick in the starting lineup and Johnson, they should have recruited someone to play that one spot. I think they'd be the stronger team for that, but time will tell.
Well, history shows that any winning team in the NBL generally has a import point guard. And the Wildcats have bucked that, but they've had Damian Martin. But generally, it's been you need an import one to win.
Yeah, and
Brisbane.
And then they've gone with Johnson, who obviously was injured and didn't play. Could be a player, but we just didn't see him. He played 12 or 15 minutes or something. Yeah. The over-reliance on the three-point shot, Brisbane, 8 of 32 from the outside. Like it seemed like the only two attacking the hoop were Law and Sobey.
Yep.
And even Sobey was pretty gun, you know, pretty happy to gun from the outside too.
Yeah, I wonder if that'll change when Hodgson comes back, if that'll give him a bit of balance.
I do. Did you come away with a bit of positivity about this team? I know you said they're more entertaining, but did you think, oh, we've got them second bottom? Did you think they're a bit better than that?
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Me too.
Yep.
Me too. Especially with Hodgson out, because what do you think of Harry Froehlich?
Oh, he's looking great. Like,
you think so? I thought he was good. I thought he had 10 points, 12 rebounds against what was the weakest front line in the NBL. And his brother gave him 20 points.
That's true. Actually, yes. Now you mention it.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but.
Oh, yeah. Right. I'd forgotten about that bit. Maybe I've gone too hard on Harry Froehlich. Look, fair point. Maybe I misinterpreted.
What do you think of Dinga Dell? Only played the 12 minutes, and maybe was hampered by injury, but I saw a guy who was just a little overeager, very clumsy, reckless at the hoop in a short time.
Almost seemed like he was trying to prove that he was better than the league talent, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That he really was an NBA player, and he didn't show that at all in my mind. And so word is that he's actually got an injury. He didn't play the next game, so he went into the game with an injury cloud. So maybe we cut him some slack there, but I think also anxiety probably played a part.
He was doing those, like he was dribbling it, and he was just, his body was getting, you know, 3 feet ahead of the ball and his feet, and he was toppling over into guys.
Yep.
One worry I had for Illawarra other than him was, you know, they won this game off the huge offensive production from Emmett Nara and Simon. Now we kind of saw in the next game where that didn't happen, but they still won. But in this game, it was like, if you're banking on those two being offensively productive, Simon's edging more and more to being pretty dependable offensively, but Emmett Nara, I was like, okay, you know, a little bit tighter.
He's a pass first guard, really. Oh, yeah.
And he caught fire. And
his shot technique looks so clunky.
Really bizarre.
But they were going in. I sort of think with the Hawks, maybe it's sort of guard by committee. It's just kind of like who's on tonight, and we're just going to run with that guy, work through him until you find somebody who's providing you with some production.
What else did you have in your notes, Andrew?
Pretty confident that Justin Simon's going to be Defensive Player of the Year.
He looked fantastic.
Man, he's both amazing. Games.
Not to jump ahead, but he looked like he's just athletic and, you know, not James Ennis athleticism in comparison to the rest of the league, but there were times when, I can't really remember it specifically in this game, but certainly in the next one, where guys thought they had time and he closed the space and made them look silly.
Yeah.
And then went the other way. And I'm talking about the play on Majuk Den in the other game, but he just closed space. He was everywhere. Like, you know, when athletes have got it in the NBL, they can really like run through and jump over the competition. And he looks like one. Yeah. He looked really good.
And he has that endeavor on defense as well. You know, you can see he's really putting in. It's a rare commodity in imports. The other thing I thought is, I think Vic Law, he looked pretty good. And I think, again, I think he'll be better once Hodgson is back and they've got that bigger rim protection guy. I think he'll just be able to assert himself and sort of play his more natural game a little bit more.
Yeah, speaking of strength and athleticism, like he has just got
NBA body. Like he's a legit 6'6", 6'8", whatever he is. He's big across the shoulders. He's quick. He's fast. He's tall. He's physically going to be, I think he's going to be really good. And he just looked a little bit, he was feeling out the process in this game.
Yep.
I thought he lacked that aggression that once they go, no, we just want you to score every time. He'll go. Like kind of like Daryl Strawberry in The Simpsons, like, hey, Vic Law, hit a home run. Okay, Skip. I think there'll be an element of that going on. But
yeah,
Johnson, I want to get your thoughts. Like injured, I know, but Drimmick played quite well. I think this is again where they've recruited wrongly.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to get a read on him. He was sort of in and out of the game, didn't really contribute.
It just seems weird that you'd import a player who's then hurt. Like,
I know.
It's like it's like putting something on layaway when it's like time is ticking. You've lost the game already. There's only 27 left.
Every year, Brisbane seem to do this weird thing with imports. I don't quite get it.
You figure it out. You let me know.
Is it some agent thing?
Unless they've promised Kadee and Sobey, like, no, you're going to get X minutes. And I don't know.
One other question for you. Any thoughts on Drimmick, new home?
Yeah. Oh, he looked better. Like, he put up a couple of points. I'll full disclosure, like, I watched this game as I was covering the BBL.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
So I got a good look at this game, but it was fleeting glances at times and had a look at the stats. He seemed to play pretty well. And I mean, he couldn't play worse than he was late in the year in Adelaide. He was just totally out of sorts. So, no, quite good. Yeah. What did you think?
He looked invested anyway. Yes. I think that's cool to say. Needs to find his shot again.
So
get that consistency back. I mean, he was a leading scorer in college.
He had that knee injury, didn't he? And then I just think the bend isn't there. Good attack at the hoop. And to start the year in Adelaide last year, and this is what I'm hoping he can mimic that form. Really, he was really playing good defense, really attacking the basket, not overextending himself. And it looked like he was continuing that trend, that early season trend in Adelaide rather than that late season trend in Adelaide with this first game. So anyway, but one game, we'll see what happens.
One last point. I think I noticed that Brian Gorgian was wearing sneakers.
Yeah, I did first notice his college shirt with sneakers.
Wow, Gorge, he's just, I mean, he was always the leather shoes guy. Now he's rocking the sneakers.
I was as surprised as you.
I wondered if
sneakers and no Coke.
No Coke, good point. He's a changed man.
You figure that out. You let me know. Happy to move on to the next one?
Yep.
Cairns, Sydney. Cairns winning this one 87-86. A lot to talk about here. Give me your notes.
Well, I can really – I'm so
– Let's start with the foul.
My memory just comes back to the final play of the game. That's the one that's sticking in my mind.
Not the final players in the missed three-pointer or the foul call?
No, I'm thinking the missed three. The mystery and just why that was the shot that they went with.
Oh, I've got a stat for you on that one, but yeah, sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, it was just like, to finish my thoughts on that shot, I might as well start with the end because that's what made the game. Casper Ware had one good shot all night from range. He looked really good when he got to the elbows and he was hitting that mid-range jump shot. He attacked the rim a couple of times. I was like, oh, okay, Casper Ware is back. And then he just drifted back to the outside and started laying bricks all over again. So what are you doing, man? Like, you had the key to success. You were doing it. And he just fell back into that bad habit. To have that guy that's been laying bricks take the last shot, like, kudos for him for having the cojones to do it. But no, wrong guy. Wrong guy. He had Martin out there on the court.
I'm going to pick up where you've left off here. The score, end score was 87-86. That score remained the same for a minute and 40 seconds. The plays that Sydney ran up were, I've got it written here, a Casper Ware 3, a Sean Bruce 3, the foul call, which I want your input on, and then another three-point attempt. In a league where it's like, oh, the refing's shite, the refing's terrible, well, test the ref. Go at the basket. You only need 1 point.
Yeah.
Go at the hoop. Put the ball in Martin's head. In that last minute and 40, because Cam Oliver hit the free throw to put them up one, Martin checks into the game. He didn't touch the ball. He did not touch the ball in the last minute 40. Didn't even, not a pass, not a catch, nothing. It was basically should have just stayed, sat down. I don't know why he didn't go to him. I don't understand. No. Let him touch it at least. I thought he was lethal. Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was lethal. He is going to be really, really good.
Yep. He had that mid-range game turnaround. Oh, it was just
patient, poised.
Yep.
Yeah, loved him.
Yeah, I really. And he's got that length to him as well. I thought
he's big. He's big. Yep. Sorry, Andrew, you go.
No, I was just going to say, then he just need to use him. Like, and again, their substitution patterns, they're carrying on with the Will Weaver playbook, I think. Just guys bouncing in and out. It's like, you're not going to get cold sitting on the bench because you'll be back in again, but only for a couple of minutes. So just know, how do you get a rhythm when you're in and out like that?
Speaking of the substitution patterns and that, with Martin, because they said, oh, Martin's on a minutes restriction. And then Cam Tregar was like, I asked why he was on a minutes restriction, which is really the more important information than, yes, he's on a minutes restriction. That's a description. But why is he on the minutes restriction? And Cam Tregar in the telecast goes, oh, they're being tight-lipped. And the NBL and a lot of teams, I think it's not really the NBL's fault, it's the teams here. Like, you have to communicate that stuff. And obviously the Kings kind of parrot the Wildcats in this, and they're like, nope, our little circle, screw you. We're not telling you. You're not part of our Kings family. And that's fine, but I've said this in a tweet. I said, you are in business together. You and the broadcast, whether you like it or not, you are, the better you are, the better the product is, the more, you know, you're in business. Don't shut people out. It's not a good look. And also it's like, it's a mugging off of the fans. We'd like to know what's going on with the teams we're watching. It's important.
Yeah.
This is not MI5. This is not important. Oh, Martin's, and we must know Martin's had quarantine. He's just a bit behind the pace. So we're minute restrictions. Great. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Just give us that explanation.
Was it a foul on Casper Ware? Shooting foul, sorry.
No. I think that was fair enough. It was, and I think he was still, from what I saw, the freeze framing and all that, he was still dribbling and they had two hands on at that point. Mm-hmm. And you got two hands on his waist. Foul. He immediately went up for the shot thereafter, but no, that's not a shooting foul.
I agree. I thought the contact was made, and I think also Casper is known for that, like kind of throwing it up at the last minute and kind of complaining on that. Any player knows you're just not going to get that call. Refs aren't going to decide a game. And we this is the funny thing. It's like the fans and people always say, oh, let the players decide it. Well,
yeah,
you got the chance to decide it. You decide to jack it up from outside every attempt. So I want to talk about, speaking of jacking up from the outside, here's a stat you'll like. Casper Ware, Luzada, and Bruce combined for three from guess how many attempts from the outside?
Three of 25?
Three from 20.
Okay.
That is abominable. That's disgusting. Terrible. That is so bad. And I want to talk about one of those guys in particular, Didi Luzada, right?
Yeah.
We've seen him now play 27 or 8 NBL games in his career. He's really played one good one where he caught real fire against Perth in Sydney. Can he give dependable NBL production and minutes?
No, not the way he's playing at the moment.
He's just so young. You forget he's only 21.
Yeah.
And it shows. He just doesn't attack the basket with this flair and stuff. I know it's only one game, but the trend. Yeah,
it's guys like that that I think suffer because of the loss of the mid-range game. Because I think he's been forced out, like he's shooting threes, and they're like his form looks okay, but they're just not going in. But I think, gosh, if you put his shooting technique into that sort of high post area, that would be pretty good. But he's just, because of the way the game flows now, he doesn't get the opportunity. But he's not, his alternative is to attack the rim. And I thought he was going to be a really explosive player, you know, really athletic kind of guy, but he's not showing it in terms of attack to the rim, is he?
And this is a guy who they really needed to depend on. And Brad Newley had the better game. And I think we'll go back into the starting lineup. But
yep.
I mean, at this point, I'm only really ready to declare three coaches who get the heck out of the way of their players. Brian Gorgeous, Trevor Gleeson, and Mike Kelly. They're the three guys who go, all right, they're our best. I'm not going to get in the way and over-substitute this. Every other coach seems to just want to get their hands on stuff a little too much.
That's a really good insight. Yeah, they want to be able to point to things where they made a decision and it changed something, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good.
Martin and Hunter, before we move on from this game, Moller started, right, with Hunter. Jordan Hunter showed a bit. I didn't think he was going to – he did nothing last season. He barely played. Came and had a pretty good game, played pretty well on Cam Oliver, you know, did a few things. You would think Jarrell Martin and he are the starters going forward, which is – you were talking about how happy you are about your Justin Simon Defensive Player of the Year prediction. I'm very worried about my Moller Most Improved prediction because I think he'll go to the bench where he's more natural.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't show much improvement, did he?
he didn't have his game most
consistent from one season to the next, maybe. But yeah, Hunter's really good.
Finished the dunk.
Big guy who knows he's big.
And runs well. Yeah, I was a fan.
Yep. Really good.
Any last thoughts from this one?
Cairns need to go inside more. Their points in the paint was 26 points to 50. And we've just talked about how much Sydney had been jacking it up.
And was small inside with Martin on a minutes restriction, Jordan Hunter, Green, Moller is not the biggest guy in the world. That looks bad. And Cam, a lot of that falls to Cam Oliver.
He's settling. He's settling for that jump shot.
The scout's out on him a little bit. Like he'll take it if you give it to him. And I mean, he hit him in the semi-final, but these first two best games
in
this round.
Best when he mixes it up.
Agreed. Any last thoughts? We want to move on to Adelaide South.
Let's keep going.
Okay, this one. Oh, geez. Adelaide South East Melbourne, 116 to 108. Adelaide winning. I don't think either of us predicted Adelaide to win.
Nope, I didn't. Especially not in double OT.
Where do you start with this one? Where do you want to start?
Where do I start? I mean, I think the takeaway is that, Giddy is everything that he'd been talked about being, and I think he's going to be Rookie of the Year. And I'm not feeling so good about my Marvick King pick at this point.
Giddy's got a clear runway to that one.
Man, he's looking real good. He needs to still put on some beef, but
Yeah, he looks small.
He looks really skinny, but it's not stopping him from doing what he does. But it was a real explosion of Australian talent this game. So you had Giddy, you had
Johnson
just dominating.
33 points on 78%. Wow,
jeez! And then Mitch Creek at the other end.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic.
And
as far as making little plays to keep them around, like taps on rebounds, a couple of nice little plays. I thought he was
just so strong. You know, like he's everywhere on the court. You got to watch out for him as he can do damage from anywhere. Can we claim Yanni Wetzel as an Aussie? Because there's your other Aussie coming up party. He's a Kiwi. But he was really good. He reminds me of a young Andrew Vlahov.
Oh, wow. Oh, I think he moves a bit better, doesn't he? He reminds me of Chris Anstey.
Oh, you think so? I was just thinking he seems a bit stronger than Anstey. Anstey was always a bit lean. Yeah, that's where I went the Andrew Vlahov comparison.
Just the more like beef. In and out. He just seemed just, I just thought he had speed. I really was hot. Yeah, I mean, I liked Wetzel. I remember you asking me in the preseason when we did previews, you were like, oh, what are they going to do up front with Pinot injured? I was like, Wetzel? And hopefully he can replicate his form, but he's fantastic. Again, I want to go back to Sloan.
Yeah.
7 points, 2 of 7. What do you think?
How many NBA games does he have in his CV? 150 or something like that.
Yeah, 150, 200, yeah.
Tell you what, he must have been a lot better back then. He's rubbish. That
was a long time ago, yeah. I don't know, like, what's his game? Like, I joked that, you know, instead of Sloan, it should be Slow and Slow instead of Sloan. He was just, like, he wasn't breaking people down. He wasn't breaking and creating. So then is he a pure set shot shooter? Is that why they brought him into play off Giddy? And if so, why didn't they start Giddy? I just don't know who he is.
Nah. They should cut bait. Like, I don't think.
Oh, wow. You've picked up the pitchfork already. Wow.
Yep.
Tiki torch, pitchfork. Okay.
You're definitely buying one airplane ticket. And if there's some deal, you can get two seats for the price of one, just buy the two and send them both back.
Should they have just done the WNBL and just gone no imports? Because right now, like, Giddy's outplaying Sloan.
Yep.
And you would say that McVay's kind of outplaying Crocker a little bit. Crocker had a better game.
Crocker improved a little bit, like, to be fair. He did show a bit, but that was not – it was still a little bit. And he, I didn't see what he was giving down the defensive end of the court very much either.
Speaking of that, I've got here in my notes, Keanu Pinder is rawer than sushi. I just don't see where
that fish is still swimming.
No, it's just well, I didn't see his effectiveness on either end. And he came out of the game one time, got a bit of a serve for defensive stuff, and yep, sat for a while.
Foul prone, like, kind of all over. I don't know why he's on the team.
Where's his effectiveness?
Yeah, I didn't see it. How's he gotten to NBL level?
And you look, and we were saying, would you rather have Obi Shea or Pinder? And that answer is becoming very, very clear as to who you'd prefer. But
I'd rather have Lucas Walker.
Like, you know, I think Brendan Tees show how candy it is to look down your bench when you're in an overtime situation, you've had a couple of fouls, and go, all right, you jump in the game. You know, he's played probably a couple hundred NBL games, yep, rather than looking down the bench at someone who's green as green.
Yep. Like, I'm not a huge Tees fan, but I was like, I was so proud of him. Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah.
I was like pumped for him because he'd got no burn. He was starting last year with Fedori, right? Wasn't he? And he gets no game time, comes in, and then he starts hitting floaters, mid range. Like, he was brilliant. Yeah. Like, good on you, Tees. Show him you need more court time.
I want to jump onto something else. A fiery so-and-so on Twitter had these two things to say. One simply read, Glidden sucks. The other, I called it, Connor Henry is a junk coach, at Andrew Canyon.
Who's that guy? He must have been really pumped up watching this game.
Let's go with Glidden.
I'm so angry. I'd picked him for most improved.
Before you go, let me give you his stat line. 44 minutes, 14 points, 4 of 14, all but one of his field goal attempts was a three. It was not a three. So 13 attempts from the outside, nothing on the inside.
Yep.
Like, you take the floor.
What is he providing that you can't get from some other dude sitting on the bench that you're going to at least get that? And
I think about Jessup's the next star.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Imagine if they had him.
So much better. I mean, they talk about Glidden being this gun shooter. It seems like he's only a gun shooter in training sessions because whenever the bright lights come on, he freezes. I just don't see, and I don't see, like, what are the intangibles that he's bringing? I'm not seeing much of that.
Is he hurt? I just look at casting up only 3-point attempts, and I just think this is a guy who's, you know, it's Tuesday night rec league, and, you know, he doesn't want to enter the paint because he doesn't want to get hurt because he's got a 9-to-5 the next day. Is that maybe sound a bit brutal, but that's just what I saw.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think this is who he is now, right? He's just a 3-point shooter that will sit in a corner, and that's what he's going to do.
Make him, though.
Sometimes he'll make him. He'll make him just enough to think.
When he makes him, he looks good. I know that sounds really daft. It sounds really daft to say when he makes him, it looks good. It looks good when everyone makes it. But when he makes it, you're like, oh, that's beautiful form on the shot. He's caught that well.
Yeah.
It's gone nothing but net. So when he makes it, it looks like it's worth more. But, I mean, the numbers just – these two, and then let's talk about Turangi as well. These two just picked up right where they left off.
Yeah.
Both got – ample opportunity in 44 minutes for Glidden, 35 for Turangi.
Yeah,
Turangi, 3 points, 1 of 9, missed 3 shots at the foul line.
Hey, this is a guy that was like best six man or whatever,
and most improved 2 years ago.
Most improved, sorry, yeah, and was like knocking down the three consistently in Brisbane 2 years ago.
What's happened? Are they hurt?
Nah, they're not hurt. Maybe they're hurt in confidence or something. I don't.
What confidence? They got minutes, they got play, they've been talked up.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, if you're that brittle, if you're that sensitive, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong business.
But it's really hurting Southeast Melbourne. I mean, Creek's being asked to carry the load. I don't know why they're not putting Stevens on the court.
This was a question. Didn't get a second
I was very surprised because when I saw those two shooting so poorly, I was like, is he not going to get any burn at all?
And he's a good shooter.
Well, that is a real query for me coming forward because as far as I understand it, last year he was hurt. And that's why he missed a bit of time. So I thought, okay, this year will be different, but it looks like he's just fallen out of favor with the coaching staff. I mean, that's just what it looks like.
Yeah. Outside. Yep. This is their problem. This is their biggest problem. They've got that three, you know, small forward, off guard, whatever you want to call those guys, mm-hmm. both of them underperforming. Look, everything else looks pretty good for them. They got Sykes doing well.
Sykes looked good. Yeah. I liked him. Listen, he's not John Robinson. And I sort of put this out in a tweet, like they missed a whole lot of three-point attempts and John Robinson's still shooting near 47% in Spain from the outside.
Just a lazy.
just a lazy 47%.
Somebody point that out to Cam Glidden.
Sykes looked really good. Crete looked really good. Wetzel looked really good.
Yep.
So they were three things that I was like, yep, that they have to happen. Moore got foul trouble. Let's look at the positives for Southie's moment. Okay. Moore had foul trouble. You mm-hmm. would assume he would improve with that.
Yep.
You'd sure hope so. A lot of guys don't, but even still, he should. They've got Stevens kind of in the holster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable to run with a lineup of Sykes, Creek, Moore, Wetzel, and then leave that spot open for whoever's actually hitting on the day because, unfortunately, I think that's the best. And maybe that is Gibson. Creek at that three, is that how he likes it? Yeah, it's a toughie.
Yeah. Creek seems better suited to the four.
Mm.
But, yeah.
So then the problem is you're relying on two of them to be able to take the floor.
Yeah.
We said this in the preseason. We're like, I can kind of put my faith in one of them turning the corner, but you are relying on two guys turning it around. That's a steep bet.
Yeah. So
you would agree this team needs some tinkering. My question is Simon Mitchell capable of dissecting his team and making the appropriate changes?
It's a good question.
It's more of a rhetorical one, but if you had to give an answer.
I really like Simon Mitchell, but I'm thinking I just like him rather than him being a particularly good coach. You know, he just seems like a pretty cool dude.
Very.
I love him in press conferences. He's not showing much coaching development at this point, is he? Early days.
Guys are coming in and out a lot. And early days. And I still, here's the thing with this team that, you know, as much as they lost to Adelaide, who I just didn't think they should have lost to, I would say, and again, another close loss that South Melbourne lose, but I would say to people, remember, they get 8 or 9 extra home games.
Yep.
The NBL is a home team league historically. So I'm still not pulling the pin. And, you know, Wetzel, if Moore gets down the court, they would have won.
Yeah.
And also, effing free throws. They missed 14 free throws, Andrew Canyon. 14.
What have they been doing for the last 11 months?
I know. Every kid, guy, 60-year-old, man, woman, child, during this lockdown has been shooting 10 to 23 free throws a day in their driveway. Everyone. It's all you can do in these days. And they missed 14. That is inappropriate, inexcusable. For a professional team.
And I think I just want to put not only this game on that team, the whole bloody league.
I put out a stat on this.
The Hungry Jack's burger budget's been blown.
That's it. Hungry Jack's, they're in liquidation. This is a tweet I put out, and it took me a little bit to work out the math, so I'm quite proud of it, so I want to read it out. The magic number is 62. That's how many points have been left at the free throw line so far in NBL 21. This is before the last game of the round.
Okay.
Over the first four games, teams are shooting a combined 125 of 187, 67% from the foul line. That's all the teams combined, Andrew Kane. The team with the lower free throw percentage has lost every game so far. Now, that did change in the fifth game of the round.
Okay.
Because Illawarra shot the better percentage, but did take very, very few. But 14 for this team, the team that's meant to be like, you know, high tempo, we're going to shoot you out the gym, and it missed 14 free throws.
Yeah.
Cost them the game.
Yeah.
If they just hit, what'd they lose by again?
Eight points in the end, but, you know, it's a double overtime.
6 points would have done it, you know what I mean? Yep. You know, 6 points when it didn't get junked up. That's half the number of free throws they missed.
Oh, yeah, two of those points as well. Brendan T's cheeky one on the buzzer. Nice little bit of stat padding there. I don't mind that. I hate the dribble.
I love it.
I hate the dribble it out thing, and I know percentage counts and all that, but I still thought, teasy, look at that. I love it.
Going outside the game here, I want to talk about something.
Yep.
The highlights. Go and have a look at the highlights of this game on NBL.com. nbl.com.au. And it's my understanding that the highlights on nbl.com are done by a program called WSC. I kind of spoke to, I think, Guy Neville about this, or was it Darren Barker? Anyway.
Automated system sort of thing, isn't it?
Automated system. So it takes highlights dependent upon, it can sort of detect by the clock on the screen and by the volume of the crowd what's a highlight.
Right.
But the problem was this game needed a human touch because there were plays that deserved highlights that didn't make it. Like, for example, there were only like two plays from the overtime and double overtime. Yeah. That's where the game was important. Yeah. Forget all the scores in the first quarter, that, unless they're spectacular, which most of them weren't. So the computer got sort of drawn out here. Like, for example, that spin move that Giddy made on Glidden at the 107-104 mark, basically the one that kind of won this game.
Yeah, good job, Cam Glidden. Really showing your defensive starch.
Just froze. That was like sub-zero. That didn't make the highlights. And then, you know, a bunch of other plays didn't make the highlights where I thought, oh, if it had been a human person, they had to go in.
Yeah.
Just a little side note there.
Yep.
What was I going to say? Oh yeah. The press interview afterwards was a bit interesting. Simon Mitchell said, can't wait to see when Giddy get the hell out of the NBL. Now I didn't know, did you watch the press conference?
I didn't, but I saw that clip. I saw that little quote.
I didn't know what to take it, whether he meant like, oh, I can't wait to see Giddy get out of the NBA so we don't have to play him anymore. Yep. I actually texted Simon Mitchell and he said that that was what he meant, which I think was the thing. But also, I did kind of, for a second there, I thought he meant like, get the hell out of the NBL. Like, you know, when you kind of go, like, let's get the hell out of this dump. You know what I mean? So I thought maybe there was like, he was pissed off about the foul calls or maybe the 50% wage cut. I don't know. But no, it wasn't like that. Nothing that juicy.
No, I think he was a bit kinder than that. Yeah, he won't be. He won't be in the NBL next season, and Adelaide will get their buyout, and management will be happy.
They're a very cynical roster, Adelaide, and they're doing it. They've picked up with the Illawarra Hawks model. With a, we'll see how many games they win. Connor Henry, Ben Fitzsimmons on Twitter said he's coaching for his life on Sunday because they were that poor opening round.
Yeah.
Did anything change for you? You still junk coach? Where you pick up there?
Look, I mean, they won on that game, so you kind of he can point to it and say, "Hey, look, we're 1-1. Things are going okay." He doesn't know what he's doing. He's got no control over the bench.
His own
bench
team.
Management, his own team, his own emotion. Like as funny as that spray was. Giving a spray like that in the first game,
panic.
Yeah, you're freaking out. And what does that say to your players? What signal are you sending that you're just like going off at them like that? You got to go to Lindsay Gay's school of coaching and just like take a chill pill. Like, but you're only freaking out because you are freaking out. And I think he's too erratic a personality.
And how much did that translate to their play?
Yeah.
They played like he coached, which was all over the top. And you had guys coming in out of the game who were new to it. And, you know, and Boddy put it best. Like, does Connor Henry know who the five are who are going to win this one?
Yeah.
He doesn't.
And look, maybe we said the two imports are a bust, but maybe they figure the coach is a bust. Like, what's going through their minds? Are they happy to be there? Are they enjoying themselves?
Yeah, maybe
do they care? Maybe they're just like, we don't really give a shit.
I want to say one thing about Sloan. As much as Sloan, he's not the guy who's going to, you know, get to the rack and dunk on anyone or even get to the rack at all, but he's got patience. He does have poise. He committed a couple of dumb turnovers, but at the same time, I feel like his shot is dependable. He's got nice action.
Yeah.
I want to see some more. I don't like him. I'm not like, oh, hey, this guy's going to lead the league and such. No.
No.
But I do feel like, okay, I can see where he could play off Giddy with some success. I do see that coming. Yeah. But no, I don't. I'm very comfortable in that last place prediction. I cannot believe they won this game. I cannot believe it.
I know. It's just... Oh. Well, enjoy it, Adelaide, because you won't get many of them.
No, I don't think so. What else did I want to say? Oh, the Giddy media response. Because the plot line from this game for me was Johnson in the first half, Giddy in the second.
Yep.
But all the media was just like, Giddy does it all by himself. Yeah. The love for this kid. I heard even LaMelo Ball was like, phew, he's getting hyped up a little bit too much. Even LaMelo Ball was a bit jealous of the hype train. What do you think of that stuff?
Yeah, look, I think it's just it's a fun story. Of course, the media are going to jump on that. I mean, DJ has zero personality, so they're not really going to promote him. Having said that, though, I reckon DJ, the way he's played this first couple of games, like, can we get him in a Boomers camp? Like, just something different to the Boomers team he could offer. If he plays like this, mate, it's pretty impressive.
Remember at the World Cup when Glidden and Sobey sat on the bench and Bolden had left the team and Barlow didn't play, and they were kind of like, they could have used maybe a spot 5 to 8 minutes for someone big just to go out there and kind of do something different. Yep. Remember how handy he may have been?
Could have been.
That
was missed opportunity. Yeah.
Cam Glidden was there anyway. I think that's it for this game.
Yep.
Last game of the round, Cairns and Illawarra. You caught some of this game.
Yeah, I saw the first quarter and then I had to head out. So
you didn't need to see anymore. So I watched this whole thing. You didn't need to see more from that because it was very much a mirror of that first game against Sydney. Cam Oliver, 1 of 6 from the outside. Machado, 2 of 7 from the outside. So they're a combined 3 of 13. Dreadful.
Yep.
At what point do you holster it, especially if you Cam Oliver?
And the Illawarra were missing two relatively big players, Dang and Bairstow. Wouldn't that be the opportunity to...
By the way, quick departure, Bairstow, injured in the warm-up. How does this happen? And he may have done himself a real disservice because Deng played pretty well and was more of the mold of this team.
Okay.
Long, young, athletic.
Yep.
Long, young, athletic. That is this team. And so Bairstow may have done himself a real disservice where Gorgon all of a sudden goes, could have him out there, bit of a plotting big, or could go with... something different.
Yeah. Plotting big, who misses his layups as well from that first game.
So we'll see how Bairstow's year continues. Bottom line was Taipans just were not interested in doing the dirty work. They look like the LA Clippers of last year. Like they look like, oh, we're a really good team, but you haven't done anything. You know, you still lost in the semifinal. A lot of teams that aren't as good as they think lose in the semifinal.
Yeah.
And what I mean by the dirty work is look at this. Out-rebounded 45 to 39. Not a huge margin. Steals 10 to 4. Blocks 4 to 1. Turnovers. They had 15 turnovers to Illawarra's only 8. Ooh. Points in the paint.
Yeah.
So best. Yeah.
I got this stat. I even plucked this stat out. I was going to hit you with
this.
There
you go. Oh, you take it. You go.
26 to 44.
How, with Bairstow out, and Deng Adel out, who's a slashing kind of player. How do you not sort of at least level that up?
And just to finish the stat read, 39 3-point attempts for Cairns against 21. 39.
What percentage? 25% or something?
Yeah, it was shocking.
Not like at what point do you stop shooting them?
Yeah.
What do you think of OJ Ogilvie?
Well,
he's resurrected his career.
Yeah, I mean, he was hardly started in that first quarter that I saw. No. So I can't really.
He just moved well. He was effective. He was a pressure on the boards. Like he junked up. Cairns didn't run in this game. And a lot of it was due to Ogilvie because he was always sniffing around for an O board.
Okay.
And he kind of puts the pressure on. I thought he was immeasurably better than last year. Not hard to do. He looked like Fantasia where that mop and bucket comes to life. He didn't move well at all last year. Now he looked good. And I'm really happy for him because I was worried about him coming into this year. I thought it's sink or swim with Gorge and him.
Yeah. Seems like he must have bought into the Gorgian Kool-Aid.
I'll say this with Cairns. They've lost DJ Newball and everyone's like, oh, that's a death sentence for this team. I actually disagree. I thought Noy looked really good, put in a couple of points. It was just the defensive intensity. They just weren't paying attention. This is a team that's been cocky.
Yeah.
They got away with the same play against Sydney, and I think they're going to realize that's not up to it. We saw Machado, remember in the TBT?
Yep.
Where a win was necessary, and we saw Machado kind of try and do a little bit too much.
Uh-huh.
I think there was a vacuum around him of effort, and he tried to do too much. And as a result, shot poorly. Still got his stats, still got his assists, but didn't
impact the game.
Cleanly. Yeah. So I'm not as down on this team as people are coming out of this one. What do you think?
Cairns, they just got, like you say, they've got to stop reading what the media is saying about them and how good everybody's saying they are. And just get back to basics is what made them a good team in the first place. It was Cam Oliver, going inside out. It was Machado driving, finding open shooters. And they they created like a pressure situation for the opposition. Sort of, whereas it seems like this year they haven't recaptured that feeling yet.
And Oliver just seems too intent to go from the outside, and you put it best, I think. And their defense was just so bad. They just weren't like the points in the paint, and most of those points in the paint came from just simple backdoor cuts, catch, layup.
Right.
Illawarra would have had, I'd say anywhere between 15 and 20 points like that in the paint. And they did it repeatedly. They did it from inbounds players. They did it from fast break situations, half court situations. It was atrocious.
Well, that first quarter, Justin Simon, the seas parted. He went in for that dunk, impressive dunk.
Where's the defense?
And it's like, where's the rotation? Like, there was nothing. He got past his guy at the top of the key and dunk.
Yeah. And so often, like, Illawarra would kind of, you know, a guy would run off two screens. Let's say it's Jessup. And then, you know, they'd kind of hang up someone. And then you just see Froehling, say, take a little step in, get a little seal in his guy and be catching the ball, not posting up on the block, but catching the ball in the key way to just literally turn and hook. And that's the sort of stuff that Cam Oliver's situation, he never found himself in unless it was off an offensive rebound.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff where Mike Kelly's got to get a little bit more instructional with these guys, because you can't just roll it all out to Machado. But who's going to play defense? Majuk Deng like had a couple of nice shots and things, but he was so clumsy on defense. Mm. Always has been.
Yeah.
Now with DJ Newbill out, it's like, well, do we want your scoring or do we want your defense? Mm. And that's a question they kind of have to. But I'm not down on Cairns that much. I thought this was a cocky loss rather than an aptitude loss. The Gorgian love. Like, you look at NBL.com, the headline is Gorgian. Gorgian saves Hawks. Beating Canes is like, Justinian Jessup can shoot the piss out of it. He's really good. Simons, like, here's the thing, right? You look at why Adelaide are poor. Why are they poor? They've both their imports are not as good as anyone else's.
Yep.
You look at Illawarra, they've recruited well. Tyler Harvey, G League, good player.
Yep.
Simons, good player.
And they make sense together. You know, the whole team makes sense. You look at it and you go, I get it.
We can get enough out of Ogilvy and Froehling, so we're going to get a wing and a small.
Yep.
Just simple, obvious decisions. I don't think Gorgian is this, you know, oh, how does he do it? He just fillets the game, and his timeouts are the same. We spoke about Connor Henry, where Henry's there just going mental in the timeouts, you know, like Mr. Squiggle on the chalkboard. And then you've got Gorgian who's sitting there with long pauses like, yeah, just giving you a rest. Run C5 and have fun. And you know, there's pauses in between. There's a sense of understanding.
Yeah.
So he's not doing anything that you know, your man off the street with a little know-how couldn't do. And I know that might sound really offensive to Gorgian, but I think the skill of coaching is just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Set your standards and get out of the way.
Infuse your players with confidence and trust and not fear. Because nobody ever works well under the fear. And whether that's fear of being pulled, fear of being yelled at, like, it doesn't work. It doesn't get the best out of people.
No. And he just sets his standards and goes, here are the standards. You don't meet them, well, we'll have trouble behind closed doors. But here and now.
That's not fear. That's accountability. It's different.
Accountability. Great use of word. I'd love to chat to, if I can, I'm going to try and get in touch with Gorgian to speak about. I'd love to chat to him about how he maintains that confidence there, but also how he goes about setting his day. I think, and I said this in a tweet, the Illawarra Hawks, to their credit, because I don't think they're far from the most talented team. I still like what a number of teams have got on paper. Melbourne, Cairns, even Perth have got better talent. But everything they do it. They cut really hard. They screen. Like, Ogilvy set fruity picks all year last year.
Yeah.
Lousy picks, never got a person over. This year he was hanging guys up routinely and repeatedly. So they just do every little thing with energy. And I know that sounds really basic, but it's honestly the key to success. And it's why they're now 2-0.
Yeah.
Having already had, you know, they've played outside of their home grounds, they've had injuries. This is a real success story. Yeah. I know it sounds so daft to be like, oh, Gorgian's actually a good coach, but. He recruits well.
He does. Yeah. And Jessup. He is amazing. Like, such a young kid.
His stroke is gorgeous. Yep. He can shoot it like crazy. And Tyler Harvey, his percentages weren't great, but he's not afraid to take a shot. And that's more important. That's where I still put stock in Casper Ware.
Yeah.
Because while he will shoot poor percentages, he will, if you put him in positions, he will make a play. And sometimes, yeah, a shot on the rim is better than, you know, a pass as the bell expires.
Yeah.
So I thought that's really all I've got from that game.
Exciting first round. It's just exciting to be back. You know, that's the
moment. Up and down and highs and lows. You know, when the way that first game went, I was like, oh boy.
Yep.
Oh boy, that good. Third import off every team is showing its colors already, bounce back.
I love it. Crowds in the stadium. It's brilliant.
I know.
It's really good.
Who knew I missed it so much? We talked about it before. Takeaways or Uber delivery things. What were your takeaways?
Yeah, so just a few questions. Firstly, have Cairns Taipans been fool's gold? So you kind of answered that.
I say no.
You say no. I say no, not yet.
But you can't. No team's going to go undefeated.
But I'm going to take it to the assayer and say, look, can you just give me what's the carat rating on this gold? I just want to check.
I think what was I going to say? They're following the same model as last year. I mean, this is a team that lost three games to the Illawarra Hawks,
yep,
commanded by LaMelo Ball. This is an immature team that drops games really, really stupidly.
Yep.
They have not changed, unfortunately.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean they still won't finish third, okay, or higher.
My second takeaway, rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance it could be Wetzel?
No.
Okay.
No, because... the hype train for Giddy.
Okay.
The Giddy hype train. It is just, you've got the Giddy up stuff. You've just got, you got the father. I have a rather large amount of, when the opportunity arises.
What do they call him? They call him NBA Chamolet because there's an actor or whatever, Chamolet, who looks identical.
Like Chamolet. He does look like, with the curly hair.
Yeah.
I mean, one's dark skinned and one's light, but yeah.
No, I don't think, not, are you talking about, who did you just say? Did you say
M. Night Shyamalan?
No, not that guy.
Director of Sixth Sense? Oh.
No. Look, I only found out because I Googled it. I'm not that hip, you know, but yeah, if you look up this guy called Shyamalan, he's an actor and it does look exactly like Giddy.
Oh, well, the hair on M. Night Shyamalan is kind of similar to Giddy, but there we go. I'm way off. Any other takeaways?
I'll leave him at that.
I think the other takeaway I've got is, which coaches? Gordon's already showed that he's going to get out of the way. Gleason has shown that he historically gets out of the way.
Yep.
Which other coaches are going to join him in doing that? Because even Adelaide, if he just gets out of the way, Connor Henry, and plays DJ, and they just go, you know what, DJ, get ready because you're going to shoot 40 times tonight. They will hang around games.
Yep.
But whether they do that is the question. Any talking points? I've got my own, but did we discuss any other talking points?
No, not really. I don't think I've got any others.
I want to talk about this tweet from Anthony Drimmick.
Okay.
This is from a while ago. This was from what day? I think the 12th. And just as I bring it up, I've gone away. And I like Anthony Drimmick as a player. I think also I like his Twitch stuff. I don't play computer games especially. But you know, I think that interest of his is good for growing the league. But he put this tweet out and it got a lot of traction.
Yeah.
81 comments, 12 retweets, 217 likes. And the tweet goes, after being called Nathan Drimmick on the news tonight, it raises some questions for me. Why do you guys think basketball is still so underrepresented in the media? I have bias, obviously, but I feel like the product both on and off the court has gotten a lot better in recent years. Andrew Canyon, you saw this, I think. You were thinking of replying but didn't. What was your thoughts or reaction?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take this straight. So I think the NBL and basketball isn't a mainstream sport, and it's particularly not a mainstream sport in the eyes of traditional media, because traditional media is pitched at a different audience. Traditional media is for people who still watch TV and read papers.
Like the boomer generation,
yeah.
50, 60 plus,
yep.
Maybe 45, 50 plus.
Yep. So it's irrelevant. That's not the market that the NBL cares about. So who cares what the media are doing? And that's where the league needs to find its own avenue and its own media pathways, but it's not the mass market traditional media. And so it doesn't matter But what it does need is it needs everybody to buy in and almost build like a groundswell of community, like what we're doing. Like this is community-generated content, right? I think this is the future, not the mainstream media.
I agree with that. At any time, the NBL could put up an article on its website saying, here is the pool of podcasts that are created by people in and around. And as you know, there's been a whole bunch of them put out, right? But the Liam San Maria's, they've organized that one because that's theirs. But yeah, there's a whole bunch
of others. Yeah, it's gone bonkers.
And you can have a directory and just say, here they are and da-da-da. And you could put a disclaimer like, if they start talking shit about Connor Henry, we don't agree with it. So, you know, but you know, you're getting more and more up and going and you know, people helping people. With the comment, I think it's also really an important distinction to make between basketball and the NBL, right? Basketball in Australia has a decent following. It actually does get, NBA basketball will get highlights on the NBA. I saw it just today. The 76ers, they talked about that game being canceled by coronavirus. And then also Zion Williams' massive dunk, which if you saw that, was sickening highlights. So the NBA is still quite good in the mainstream media. And also the NBA is a huge betting avenue as well. There's a lot of money bet on each NBA game.
Yep.
So it's big. I want to make that distinction. But also it's like, and this is not a swipe at Anthony Drimmick. I like Drimmick. We were talking before. His Twitch channel is really interesting and that probably draws people to him and the Bullets or before that, the Sixers. But what I would say to Drimmick is, well, you're standing there, you're being interviewed by someone and they've called you Nathan instead of Anthony. And my thing would be, okay, but what are their names? You know, if you're worried about people forgetting your name, have you, you know, you can be upset that no one's remembered your name if you've remembered everyone else's. Does he know the name of the reporter and the cameraman who he spoke to? You know, that's that mutual courtesy. And then I guess the other thing I'd say is if you want people to pay attention to you, you've got to put out your own positivity. People don't owe you anything. People do not owe the NBL a thing to watch at all. And so my advice would be to all the NBL players out there, if you feel like you're underrepresented, I would say, well, naturally, if you feel you're underrepresented by the media, who's the media guy that you, the reporter you have on speed dial who you call after every game to offer an interview to? And if the answer is no one, well, they have a phone number, they have an email, they have a Twitter, you can contact anyone you want and give an interview.
Yeah,
it's putting yourself out there. It's a risk because they might go Bullets. There's a jump at Moonee Valley, but that's part of business, you know. And we were talking about this before. Like, there are musicians and comedians standing on street corners, flyering their shows, and some pretty big names.
Yep,
begging people to come and watch their product. That's what you do as an entertainer, and that's what these basketball players are. So, and to speaking about that personally, I've done this for a while now, and I don't, as I said, no one owes me shit, but no player's ever tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, I'll come on. Mm. Or I like what you're doing. Because, you know, if a player comes to me and says, I like what you're doing, I'm not going to give you interviews, but I like what you're doing. The odds that I flip and watch their games, it would increase.
Yeah.
Of course it would.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be my advice.
That's all really good. And I think the only other sort of comparative story I could maybe tell is I've spent a fair bit of my life surrounded by politicians, so take that for you know. Nevertheless, politicians who generally are relatively well known in society. So I'm not talking like just no namers, backbenchers, but people who are known in the community.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I've always noticed about these people, they will walk into a room and they will never presume that anybody knows them. And you can say it's partly it's just a way of breaking ice and getting in, but you'll always hear, you know, hi, I'm Andrew. How are you? Hi, I'm Andrew. Yeah, what's your name? They always lead in with their name. Never presume that you are so special that you should be known.
Not that we're saying Anthony Drimmick is doing that.
No. But it's like you just can't assume that you are the center of somebody else's world. And
it's like, it's like if I said, oh, hang on, I spoke to a guy on the street before and he didn't know about my podcast. Why don't Australians give us stuff about podcasts? Well, the odds are they just don't give us stuff about me, which is very, very highly likely. And I win. But great point you make.
Yeah.
I've heard stories about Malcolm Turnbull, Prime Minister of the country, who will you know, meet people like assistants and things. I heard one story that a guy I met, he goes, oh, I was an assistant for such and such backbencher or whatever. Met Malcolm Turnbull at one point, bumped into him again 8 months later, and he remembered my name. And I said, this guy had just met with Trump. Well, relatively, you know, this guy had a lot in his plate, and remembered my name. He said, yeah, he may have secured my vote, even though I don't like his politics.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what's going on out there. Jumping on from that, is there any other news? Other than the injuries coming up, like Dang Adele's got hurt.
Yeah, Giddy's out for the next game.
Giddy's out for the next game. Well, you can pencil in what's going to happen there. I'm just going to quickly go to the NBL website and make sure that here's the report, game report. Master Gorge, overseas Hawks masterclass in Cairns. Never mind that Justin Simon dominated. Jessup was incredible. Like, their talent is a little bit better than I had thought. But sorry, no other news other than that.
No.
You want to do round two and get out of here?
Yeah, sure. Let's look at what we've got.
Do you have it in front of you or you want me to?
Yeah, I've got it. So we start off with Adelaide at Southeast Melbourne. At Adelaide.
That's right. Who are you tipping?
Southeast Melbourne. I think they'll bounce back. No Giddy.
So, no Giddy for sure. That's my why. No Giddy.
Yep.
They lose that little bit of poise and 15 points, 10, 5 rebounds. I don't think they can get it from anyone else.
Nope.
Next one.
Brisbane Hawks.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I want you to go first.
When is this game? I want to see the turnaround.
It's Thursday, 21st, 3 days' time.
I'm going Brisbane.
Okay, I'm going the Hawks.
Wow. Okay. We have our first departure. Fair enough. I just think that's pretty short turnaround. Brisbane were close first time. I like Brisbane and hopefully Johnson's better. And I don't like that pick, but anyway, I've just said it now. Next one.
I'm excited for this one just because it's our first chance to see New Zealand as they play Adelaide.
And I'm assuming you're tipping as I am the Breakers?
Yes, I am.
As am I. Why do we have to give a reason?
No, they're just better.
And Adelaide are going to be pretty worn out at that point.
Yeah, it's four games,
a lot of games. Yep. And then they played play Southeast Melbourne on Monday, and then they're playing this one Friday. Not the quickest turnaround, but yeah, who knows? The question is, who knows if Giddy will be there?
Yeah.
Cairns,
Sydney.
This is an interesting one. Who are you going with?
I think Sydney will adjust and get the win.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. It's a big call.
No, I think Cairns will readjust again and get the win. Can I ask you a second question, a second tip off this one?
Yep.
Martin minute over-unders, what he played, what did he play, about 15 minutes in that first one?
Yep.
Is he going to go above 20?
Yes.
So I think he'll go sub 20.
Okay.
I think when I heard that Adam Ford had to ask the performance manager, coach, or whatever, whether he could put Martin in the game, I thought, oh no.
Just on that, did you hear him say, and maybe I misinterpreted, but it seemed like they are required to wear suits, and he was saying, I need to ask the owner if I can wear a polo because I'm in Cairns and I'm sweating my box off.
I did hear him say
I'm
that.
Sorry. If an Australian owner group, whatever, is trying to say you must wear suits, that's dumb. This isn't the NBA. No other team does it. There's no expectation. Sure. Like, that's a silly club rule that's been put
in. There's nothing wrong with a nice pair of slacks. Black shoes. How Gordon's allowed to wear sneakers? Like, this is not shuffleboard. And
he's an old man.
Put some wingtips on. Come on, let's go to the party. And then a nice collared shirt, nice polo or collared shirt, whatever you want to do, with a nice logo on it. It's fine. A little team logo.
You don't need suit and tie, especially when you're playing in Cairns in a converted Bunnings warehouse.
No, a bit much.
Wear thongs and shorts if you're in a Bunnings warehouse. Jeez. So,
last game of the round.
Well, it's not really, is it? We got another one. There's two more games.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. But yeah, Perth, Southeast Melbourne.
At where?
It's at Perth.
Well, who are you tipping?
Perth. They're gonna unfurl the banner. Been sitting there resting. Doing nothing. They'll win.
Doing nothing. Ready. Yeah, I agree. Cairns, Melbourne.
I'm going to say Melbourne are going to win this, and it's going to send Cairns into panic stations. Because by my tipping, they're like 0-4.
By your tipping.
I think it's 0-4.
0-3.
0-3, sorry.
No, they've already won a game. So they've won one, lost. They won two. You're predicting them to be 3-1. 1-3.
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, because they've just beat Sydney. Yeah. Sorry, so many games.
I have them over Sydney, so they'd be 2-2, and I think that's reasonable for them. No, I think Melbourne will win this one too.
Okay.
They've had a big break, good team. What's the game after this? Because I can't move along on the fixture.
Oh, that's it. Cairns.
Oh, that is it. Okay.
Yep.
So I've got Southeast Melbourne, Brisbane, Breakers, Taipans, Wildcats, United, and you've got, where do we depart? You've got Illawarra instead of Brisbane.
Yep.
And Sydney instead of Cairns. Yep.
So,
yeah, well, Cairns are, this is the round for them. If they're serious, they have to come out of this with at least a tie winning record.
And speaking of future games, the other thing we're talking about doing is another Twitch stream, right?
Oh, good point. Yeah, so we did the Twitch. NBLPP is the tagline on there. We're thinking of doing either that last game, Cairns in Melbourne, or perhaps the game on this Wednesday, which will be tomorrow. Because this will come out on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Adelaide and Southeast Melbourne. So we may do that. But Boddy is interested. That name was floated around. If we can get him for the Adelaide game, I think that'd be a lot of fun. So I think we're pushing towards Adelaide, Southeast Melbourne.
I think so, yeah.
See how the schedule lands for both of us.
But please, yeah, let us know if there's particularly one that you'd like to see.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, go to twitch.tv/NBLPP. We had fun doing it. There's a chat thing you can get. So we try and talk to people in the chat. We're trying to,
it can be pretty sad watching the Twitch. You know, when, like, for example, this game, the Illawarra Cairns game, that was not on Viceland. It was on ESPN, but not on Viceland. So I watched it on my laptop.
Yep.
And it can be a bit sort of strange just sitting there watching it with the commentary. So if you're in a frame of mind where you're like, oh, I want a bit more bonhomme, a little bit more like I'm watching this with friends, I think the Twitch is a really good avenue to do it. Also, what we're thinking of doing with this is, instead of doing the blue ribbon event of the round, because you want to hear that, if, let's say, the Cairns Melbourne, that's probably the biggest matchup, or maybe Adelaide New Zealand, if you want to get a look at them, that's the matchup you probably want to watch with the experts. With a lesser game of the round, you may want to spend with us. Just a thought.
Yep.
And if you like that idea, get in touch with us on
if you've had enough of Dwayne, and you want
listen, I like Dwayne Russell. Andrew, I've received a message from someone within the NBL circle. I just want to check it out just in case it's something we should mention.
Okay. This is breaking news.
Someone's clipped up the end of the game of the Illawarra Cairns game where Dwayne Russell says,
"Didn't see a lot of Justin Jessup's cream in game one, but boy, has he got some tricks and some cream.
Meaning the cream of the crop. I don't know what he meant, but in this game, and someone's clipped that up and thought that was funny. But it was a bit of a Santa's watching, or look what's in my NBL pocket, or whatever. I don't know how you carved that segment. But yeah, that is this show for Tuesday the 19th of Jan, after the first round.
Going into the second. Fun times.
Fun
back.
Stuff. Yeah, very fun. Andrew, I'll give you the last word.
Bring on round two. It's like a little mini, all these mini series. I'm loving it. It's game of adjustments.